Turning again to the portion of the Word that we read. Matthew chapter 22. And we read these words in verse 42. What think ye of Christ? What think ye of Christ? I heard once of a minister coming, being asked to preach in a congregation where he had never preached before, and where he knew very few of those who were there, knew them well, at least not knowing them well. And he asked advice of an older minister. He says, what do you think that I should preach to these people? What do you think I should preach when I don't really know them? And the old minister said, well, just preach the gospel. But he said, there are different aspects, surely, to the gospel. The old man said to him, well, if in doubt, preach evangelistically. The believers won't mind it, and the unbelievers need it. And I come before you tonight, friends, and praying that the Lord would bless what I seek to bring before you, the great question that really all of us, whoever we are, need to answer. And if the message tonight is maybe aimed more at any here who are without Christ, I think also that all of us should see that it can be applied to ourselves. Because here is a question, a different context I grant you, but it's a question surely that we should often ask ourselves. What do I really think of Christ? Now, how and what any of us think, more often than not, governs what we say and what we do. What do they say? So a thought, and you reap an action. So an action, and you reap a habit. What think ye? How do you think of Christ? Now, we are all, to some degree, whoever we are, we all have minds to think. And whoever we are, we all think about things from day to day. We fill our minds with certain things. We consider what is brought before us in day-to-day matters in life. We usually, at least, and know sometimes that we may do something without great thought, but to some degree there is thinking going on in our minds. Some things are good, some things are not so good. Some things can be godly, some thoughts can be ungodly. Now, when we are asked a question, generally we will give then some thought before we answer. We like at least to give some thought to it, especially if it's not a straightforward question. But I think, friends, that this here tonight is a very straightforward question. And it's a question that each and every one of us needs to answer for ourselves. And I wonder how you would answer if you were in a classroom situation, or if you're in one of these quiz shows that you may see on the television and you had to press the button quickly. What would you say, summing up in a few words, if the question was asked? What think ye of Christ? Here is the Lord, and it seems we are told that it's the last time that he is in any kind of question and answer situation with the Pharisees. And isn't it interesting that the last time he addresses them, that he addressed them with the great question, what think ye of Christ? Of course, they have their own answer, which is partly right. But then, following it through, we see that they didn't understand, as we know very well, at all. And this, friends, in one sense, will be the last question that we will have to answer, in one sense, on the last day. And how we answer that will depend on the eternity that awaits us. I would like to consider tonight four answers that generally that people give. Now, I know there are many others that we could have, but I think these sum up fairly well, I believe, how some people think about it. What think ye of Christ? Some will answer, well, I hardly ever think about him at all. Now, notice, it's not about I never think about him. And especially those, as I ask you here tonight, those who come to the house of God, to the services, whoever you are, it must be that you must think something of Christ to be here in the first place. Not just tonight, but on many other occasions. But it may be that you just say, well, hardly ever. Hardly ever. You cannot say never, but you can say maybe hardly ever. When you come to the means of grace, maybe you attend a funeral, you hear of a death somewhere, you may have fleeting thoughts then, especially when we're younger and maybe somebody young of our own age and younger, when they pass away, when they die. There may be some thoughts then about the things of eternity. But the truth is as well that there are many and they give no thought to Christ or eternity from the time they come, even those who come to the Lord's house, till they come again a week later. Can that be so? Well, I dare say that here there are some who know something of that, as some of us did. Hardly ever thinking about these things that are before us. And some people, when you speak to them, may say, well, that's fine. I am happy with what I am doing. If that's what you want, that's fine for you, but it's not for me. And so such a person can live in that way, going from Lord's Day to Lord's Day, from Sunday to Sunday. Yes, found in church. Yes, more often than not, sitting under the gospel. And yet at the same time, very little thought given to the things of Christ. Now, friend, I ask you tonight, could that be true of yourself? Could it be true of you that you give little thought to eternity, that you see as something that's far off, that you give thought to heaven or to hell? Why Christ came into the world. Oh, how many friends at this time of year speak about the Jesus in the stable. And their thoughts don't rise any higher than that. And we are thankful, and maybe we've reacted too much the other way regarding these things. We are thankful that he was born, and we should be thankful every day that he is born. He was born. But what think ye of Christ, not just in the cradle, but in the grave, and on the cross, and in his coming again. And so people can live their lives with little thought of the things of God. And it never causes maybe some people anything but a fleeting thought now and then. And maybe even some people can be like Lot's sons-in-law. Remember them? When he spoke to them, they mocked him. They joked with him when he tried to get them to flee from Sodom. And again, there can be people who are even church people within our circle of families, friends. And I speak personally here as well. Those that I can love so much in this world, and yet there seems to be little or no true thought of the things of God found in church, found attending the means of grace, outwardly keeping the Lord's day. But what think ye of Christ? And there's very little answer. And so there can be amongst us, even those who come to God's house, there can be those who don't take the gospel seriously. They don't take the preaching seriously. Who may just, well, the Bible is there, that's fine. I have no doubt that there's a truth there. I have no doubt about what Jesus claimed to be and who he claimed to be. I don't doubt these things at all. But what does that really to do with me right now? Leave me to do what I want to do for the week before me. Leave me to do what I want to do as I plan my life. And so many people have that attitude. They really do not want to consider seriously the things of God, the things of Christ. Hardly ever then think about them. Can you then, or do you, anyone, does anyone here tonight fit into that category? You know for yourself. I fear that many of those we know ourselves, and outwardly there seems to be a morality about them, but they just do not seem to have entered into any serious thought regarding their eternal souls, and have never given place to the claims of Christ upon them. Just a few passing thoughts, and that's as far as it goes. Hardly ever think about it. And then there are others who do, as we mentioned briefly earlier on. They certainly give some thoughts to him, but only on Sundays. Only on Sundays. Now again, I'm sure that even some of those here who are now the Lord's people, that you can follow that as well. Times when Sunday was the Lord's day. So there was some thought, maybe very superficial, but some thoughts might be given to the claims of Christ on that day. Those who only think about him and they live the rest of their lives, the rest of the week, without a thought given to him. And as long as they think that as long as they are found in the house of God on the Lord's day, well, what more can be required of me? Surely that I am doing well when I do that. Is that not enough for me? What more do I need to do? The things of Christ, they're brought before me in the preaching. The things of Christ, I hear it when I go to God's house. But really, what more can I do? What can I do about my salvation? You tell me I must be saved. But don't you also tell me that God saves and I cannot save myself? So if I'm going to God's house, what more can I do? I do think about him when I hear the preaching, obviously. Although very often as well that even in the preaching, little thought is given to him. And how much as well there is, even amongst ourselves as an island, where there seems to be that whoever a person is, whatever it's been like, if they're found in church on our Lord's day, and when the day comes and they leave this world, of course they're going to heaven. They were good people. They went to church on Sunday. Is that it? Is that what's going to be said of us? Is that where our own hope lies? And some people will even say, well, I know that there's a God. And you might even say, God is good to me. How often we hear that? And I have to say particularly for those who are older. You went to some old people's homes and they speak about these things. And Kruhi or Mal, God is good to me. What does that mean? Is that what you say? Is that how it is? Coming to church on Sunday? As if that is your way of paying back God for his goodness to you, that he's kept you through the week, that he has been mindful of you through the week, although you were not mindful of him. And you notice as well, and I'm sure those of you here who are Christians, you notice how you can speak to certain people and they're more than happy to speak about God and to speak about God's providence and to speak about God's goodness and to speak about the power of God. And they'll speak about the terrible world that we live in. But then when you turn the conversation to Christ, and you speak about the claims of Christ, you will notice how quickly they clam up. And it's so difficult for them to speak about things of that personal nature. What about yourself and Christ, you say? Yes, God is good to you. Oh yes, it's good that you come to church on Sunday. It is good that you keep the Sabbath day, relatively speaking. It is good that you're a good husband or good son or good wife or whatever, good mother and father. These things are good. But what about you and Christ? Oh, but God is good to me. I know that. I recognize what I have is from God, yes. But what about Christ? What think ye of Christ is the great question. Often it is then that you get an embarrassed silence and maybe a few embarrassed words of no great consequence. My dear friend, I ask you tonight, if you are here like that, speak to me about God, speak to me about Sunday, speak to me about going to church. Don't ask me a personal question like that. In the last month, I was coming out of a church service with a lady, and I said to her on the way out, I wasn't preaching, I was listening, but I said to this lady on the way out, because I've seen her around a long time, and I said to her, do you love the Lord? And she was horrified. Her face, the blood drained from her face. And she said, that's a very impertinent question. Because she didn't know how to answer it. And I think that told me everything that I needed to know. Didn't want to enter into the discussion. Friend, if I went round this congregation tonight and I asked everyone here one by one to stand up and I asked this question, what would you say? How would you answer that question? Are you someone who'd rather not speak about the things of Christ? Are you someone who'd rather speak about anything but the things of your own soul. Just get on with your life and be, yes, in the house of God, which is good, of course. If you say, well, God has given just one day in seven, hasn't he? Isn't that all that's required? Is that what you think of Christ? A Sunday Christian, as it were? Friends, there are far too many of such today. Even those who profess the name of Christ. Oh, that none of us would be like that. We all fall short and we are not what we ought to be. But isn't one of the plagues of the Christian church today are Sunday Christians? Well, there's nothing else in between that seems to influence the way that they live. Just the world in their lives. When we think, friends, and when you think, you might say here tonight, well, God is good. I know that he is. God is long-suffering. I know that he is. But when you think that God gave his beloved son, sent him into this world, and here you are tonight and you don't think really anything of him, and he's still sparing you. But the day will come when that will come to an end for you. Yes, many, sadly, hardly ever think about him. Some think about him only on Sundays. But I'm sure there are others, thirdly, who have many thoughts about Christ. Many, many thoughts about him. But I say this to you, if you are here tonight like that. That is good. And continue to think about him. And you say, well, I do believe in Christ, in the sense at least, that I believe what the Bible says about him. I believe in Christ. But you know what the Bible tells us, friends? The devils believe and tremble. The devils believe and tremble. Do you believe? Do you tremble at the thought of what that means? Oh, you say, I do often think about him. I do often think about my soul. I do think about, when I listen particularly to the preaching of the word, I think about one of my own sometimes. I think about eternity. I do think about salvation. But, and there's always a but. Maybe you're saying, well, I hear what is preached from week to week. I hear what I'm taught at home. I hear what is being set out for me in the Bible. I hear, in a sense, and I have many thoughts about such things, but maybe Christ didn't die for me at all. Maybe it's not for me. Well, let me ask you another question. If you're thinking along these lines, are you not a sinner? Don't you acknowledge that, whatever that means? Maybe to some degree you're able to know that. You say, yes. Well, I know that I'm a sinner. The Bible tells me I'm a sinner. Yes, I believe to that extent. Well, listen to the words, friend. Be encouraged with this from the words, from the mouth of the Lord Jesus himself, that I came not to call the righteous but sinners to repentance. And so there, you who have many thoughts about him, and you who think, well, I'm not good enough, of course you're not. You never will be good enough. But he came not to call the righteous but sinners to repentance. Bible says, for you who are laboring with these things, you who feel the weight maybe of sin in your life, are you here tonight and you're at that stage? What does he say? Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest. There are so many promises. If you are tonight thinking about him seriously, that you have many thoughts about him, but make sure also that you're thinking and not just a few pious excuses for unbelief. That can be as well. What can I do? If I'm in the elect, I'm in the elect. Remember an old man in one of my ministries and could not get through to him. That was his thing every time. Never miss church. Never. Oh, but if I'm the elect, I'm in the elect. What can I do? What's the point of me praying? And yet scripture makes clear. The things that belong to election belong to God. The things that belong to your eternal salvation belong to you first and foremost to deal with that in this world at this time. So all these things can come as you think about them. And your thoughts about Christ, make sure that they fit into what scripture makes clear about him. Maybe you think, as I said, and some people can have this situation, I do think about him, but I just do not think that I will be saved. Well, friend, look around you. Look in your family. Look in the pews beside you in the church. Those who have come to know the Lord. If he's going to save them, why would he not be willing to save you? Or you say, I'm so afraid to think in that way. Will he have mercy upon me? My friend, what makes you an exception? If you are thinking upon him in that way, don't cease to think upon him. Call upon him as well. And you can know mercy and forgiveness for yourself. And be careful as well, that you are not despising the mercy and the goodness of God to you by making excuses, putting up a wall of excuses regarding yourself. You know, there is a great danger sometimes, and it is, I'm sure you'll agree, many of us would agree, that in our own culture, it seems to be at times that it is seen as a mark of holiness not to say that you have a hope of salvation, not to have that hope, as if doubting is something good. Dear friend, that is not how it should be. Of course, Christians have doubts from time to time, but that should not be what should keep us, the thoughts that we have, yes, but, no, but. We have to trust and we have to believe. And you here tonight with your many thoughts, maybe troubled days, maybe sleepless nights at times. What have you to do? You're not to wait till you make yourself better. You're not to put off for another day, because it will never happen that you'll make yourself better. What you have to do is to come as you are. And when the word says you, what think ye of Christ, open your heart and say indeed how it is with you. Can it be true then that there are some here tonight who have many thoughts of Christ but still no peace, and you haven't come as yet to the place where you're able to say that you are at peace with God? Here is the question then for you. Christ as revealed in his word as Saviour is the only answer. And he is the answer. And so, as the word is asking you tonight, what do you think of me? You with a troubled heart, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. Are you willing tonight? You who think so much about these things, spiritual things, and I pray that there are some here tonight who are like that. But don't be content going on from week to week, Sabbath to Sabbath, maybe year to year. Sometimes there's a danger, as they say, of all thought and no action. Having heard the word, when you hear the gospel preached, when you're challenged in the scriptures as you read the word, as you hear it being spoken about, you need to respond to it and to cast your all upon him. Do you then, are you here tonight with many, many thoughts about Christ? Well then, those who hardly ever think, those who think about him just on Sundays, but also those who have many thoughts. You see, what think you of Christ? Well, I have many thoughts about him. That is good, but it's not enough. What is required is not just thoughts about him, but faith in him. That's what's necessary for you. But you know, fourthly and finally, there are some. And when the question is asked, it won't be answered like the Pharisees. What think ye of Christ? And what do they say? I love him. I love him. He is mine. Can you say that tonight? Oh, I thank God that some here can. But can all of us say that here tonight? The Pharisees here, they couldn't say it. They couldn't answer in that way, because they didn't believe that he was the Christ. Those who, when asked the question here, they say, I do love him. And yes, they know that they are not what they ought to be. And I have no doubt here, there's not a Christian in this place tonight who is saying, I know I love the Lord. But they'll also say, well, but I know also that I am not as I should be. We'll never love him perfectly. But we can love him. And we should love him. And we can say, though my house be not so with God, this is all my salvation and all my desire. There's the mark of the believer who can answer positively the question, what think ye of Christ? Why will it then be that some can look forward to the new year in faith, if we are spared to see it, going forward in the strength of the Lord? And maybe others of you here who are going to end the year as you began it. Some thoughts, but not a saving thought. Is that how it is with yourself? To show, you see, there is more. And again, may I say that it is easy, relatively speaking, for many to say, and many sadly do, oh, I love Jesus. That's good, if it's from the heart. We're not despising that simple statement at all. But you know how we see if they love or you and I love Jesus? It's how we live. And what's seen in our lives and what's not in our lives. That's the proof of it all. It's not just about words. So even here tonight, when the question is asked, what think you of Christ, if you are able to say, I do love him. That is good. And if from the heart, that's what we should say. Isn't it amazing how little, I don't know yourselves, but I find for myself that far too often I forget in my prayers, my private prayers, to tell the Lord that I love him. Fearful thing, isn't it, when you think about it, what he has done for you if you're a Christian here tonight. When we think about the work of salvation, think even about your own nearest and dearest in this world a strange thing if you wouldn't every day more than once maybe say, I love you. With Christ, we should be able to say this and to live a life that would show that that is true for us. Maybe for some, because of a smallness of their faith, we may tremble at saying it. But even in trembling, friends, should we not proclaim it and show it in our lives? The gospel places before us all a loving Christ. Do you love him tonight, then? Do you love him as your risen Redeemer? Or are you somebody here tonight who hardly ever thinks about him, only loves him on Sundays, or thinks about him on Sundays? Or are you someone who truly loves the Lord and can sing these words, I love the Lord because my voice and prayers he did hear? Friends, we are not to delude ourselves into imagining that just a few pious words is all we need to get to heaven. And also, may I say, don't make the excuse and say, well, what's that got to do with you? That's between me and God. How often we hear that as well. Some of us in the ministry hear that often enough. Well, that's between me and the Lord. That's between me and God. Nothing to do with anyone else. Well, friend, if Christ had that attitude towards you, if you're a Christian, what a state we would be in. And I pray tonight that no one here tonight has anything less than a heart love for the Lord. And at the end of the day, what you think of Christ is the most important thing. And what Christ thinks of you, and I'm going to be, don't misunderstand me here, it depends also on what you think of Christ. And oh, he first loves us. But how do you show it? Where do you show it? Do you show it? Christ is worthy of all our adoration. He is worthy of our following with all our hearts. Not half-hearted. And so when the question is asked, what think ye tonight of Christ? How will you answer that question? To know him as your, wasn't it Alexander, somebody who said as he was dying, great theologian, who said, all I want to know is this, I'm a sinner and Christ is my Savior. Would not be the way that we should leave this world, thinking about Christ in that way. So, dear friends, I ask you again tonight, what do you think of him? I gave you four different categories that I'm sure there are many others, but how do you respond to them? Which one do you fit into? Are you tonight a lover of Christ? But if you're not, it must be because you're a lover of this world. And you cannot love God and His Christ and this world. It has to be one or the other. Oh, the danger of having a foot in both camps, as many imagine. Dear friend, I plead with you, don't let this year conclude. Ask without asking yourself afresh the question, what do I think of Christ? Because for sure, the question in the Word of God is asked of you, and in one sense will be asked of you. What think ye of Christ? May he bless these thoughts to us. Let us pray. O Lord our God, we acknowledge that without thee we are poor and poverty stricken. But oh, we thank thee that we are challenged in thy word. And how we bless thee tonight, that by faith that some can say, I love the Lord. And if there be amongst us those who are genuinely thinking about the things that belong to their never-dying souls, thinking about Christ, why he came and why he died, that thou, O Lord, would have them not let thee go until thou would bless them. We thank thee that thou art still working, we believe, and that thou art still drawing to thyself thine own. Oh, may it please thee from this congregation tonight to cause heaven to rejoice over one sinner repenting. All things are possible with thee, O Lord. So hear us as we call upon thee, and part us now with thy blessing, for Christ's sake. Amen. Concluding in Psalm 130. Lord, from the depths to thee I cried, my voice, Lord, do thou hear, and to my supplications voice give an attentive ear. Lord, who shall stand if thou, O Lord, shouldst mark iniquity? But yet with thee forgiveness is, that feared thou mayest be. Psalm 130, Lord, from the depths to thee I cried.
Lord, from the depths to thee I cry, my voice, Lord, do thou hear, and through my supplications, voice, hear and
grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. the love of God and the communion fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest on and abide with you now and forevermore. Amen.